Good evening. It's good to see everyone again this evening. I always enjoy my time when I come to Greenwood Hills in whatever capacity I come, but I enjoy coming to preach the Word of God as well. Would you turn again to John chapter 21? John chapter 21, and we want to consider the second part of this chapter this evening. And I must confess that oftentimes when I would come to John 21, I would skip down to verses 15 and really 15 to 18 and just kind of look at those verses. But we've been kind of considering the whole context of this chapter. And yet I do believe that verses 15 to 18, or 15 and following, I should say, and the Lord dealing with Peter is the central part of this chapter before us. These verses could be approached in many ways, taken many different sides and looked at in different ways, and I was trying to decide how to do that and decided I would do all of them. So I tend to bite off more than I can chew sometimes. Well, let's read chapter 21, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amazing. We do only have a small portion of what the Lord said and did, don't we? A lot of things that he said and did, we simply don't have recorded. But the Lord has recorded in his word those things that we need to know. Well, just a very, very brief summary of what we considered this morning, just to set the context again for verses 15 and following. We were looking at this entire chapter from the standpoint that the Lord wants to now restore Peter in a public way. You know, that's important. It's one thing to sin in a private way, and we can always be forgiven of the Lord. We can always be restored of the Lord. But sometimes, you know, if something happens privately and no one else knows about it, there's not a necessity to make it public. But when there's public sin or public failure, as in Peter's case, then there is the need to restore publicly. And I believe the Lord is dealing with Peter in that way in this chapter. And as I said this morning, I believe that it's the purpose for which this chapter is included in the Word, that Peter would be questioned here, as we're going to look at in a few moments. He had been reconciled to the Lord. The Lord and Peter met. The Lord appeared to Peter after he was raised from the dead. He appeared personally to Peter, privately to Peter. And I'm sure that they discussed the happenings before the trial of Jesus, as Peter denied his Lord those, and then the cock crowed, just as the Lord said that that would happen. And I'm sure they discussed that. But now it comes the question of Peter's involvement, Peter's fellowship with his fellow disciples. And as we noted this morning, these men here, verse 2, seven of them anyhow, seven out of the remaining 11, decided to go back fishing. Another important point here with Peter. We might say, why Peter? Why is Peter the one who is brought to the forefront here? Well, it's undoubtable that Peter was a leader, and perhaps the leader of the disciples. Always mentioned first in the lists that are given, always the spokesman, always the one who reacted, and in fact, no difference here. But Peter is the one who said, I'm going fishing, and others followed. And you know, that's a subject all of its own, leadership, and the fact that people follow leaders. And I wonder how many young people have gotten themselves in trouble because they followed a so-called leader, one who wanted to go do something, and the group follows. Well, that happens in life, doesn't it? Peter is a leader. Peter went fishing, went back to what they used to do, and I see these disciples as getting off track a bit. The Lord had given them, the Lord had called them to follow Him. The Lord had been preparing them in their lives to serve Him. He didn't pour His life into these 12 men for no reason for the 3 years in which He was with them. He didn't pour His life or His life into their lives to have them go back to fishing. And so that's what they're doing. And the Lord here is going to refocus them, redirect them into the ministry that He has. And He's speaking particularly here to Peter. Mentioned also this morning, it is so, how should we say it, intimate of the Lord to prepare this whole setting here around the breakfast. Around the breakfast table, we might say. But that's what the Lord has done. He's provided for their needs in terms of eating. And after setting this scene around fishing once again, around going out, toiling all night, not catching anything, perhaps Peter flashed back to that time in Luke 5 when the same thing occurred. And at that time he saw the holiness of the Lord in a way perhaps he had never seen it. He saw his own sinfulness. And it was something Peter always would remember. And here's sort of a similar scene, and the Lord again providing, the Lord directing, the Lord nurturing. And now as we come to verse 15, we'll see the Lord restoring. So after they had gotten done eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, this question is asked two more times, a little bit differently the second and third time. We'll look at that. But the question, do you love me? We need to be reminded, first of all, that this is a question asked of a believer in the Lord Jesus. This is one who already knows the Lord Jesus, believes in Him as Savior and Lord, recognizes Him as the Messiah. In Peter's case, that was important. And yet, it's a question that is worthy of our consideration this evening, isn't it? It's a question that's worthy of every believer's consideration. And the Lord could ask each one of us tonight, and I trust we'll consider this in our own hearts as we go through this passage, do we love the Lord? We're not asking, are we saved? But as believers, do we love Him? Now, if I was to ask that question, and if you were to ask me, I'm sure every one of our responses would be yes. I love the Lord. Well, but why is the question asked? Why is the Lord asking Peter that? Well, let's consider that now. In verse 15, as he asked him the question, "Do you love me more than these?" It's kind of an ambiguous question. I see this question as really, it could mean one of three things. The more than these, what does that mean? That's the part that's a little ambiguous. Do you love me, Peter, more than these? Well, more than what? Or who? So there's one of three ways perhaps this could be understood. And I really don't know which. I don't necessarily have a preference or an understanding what the Lord was, which of these the Lord was asking, but it's good for our consideration. First of all, maybe he was asking Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these men love me?" In other words, it was a comparative thing. Now that might seem strange. We might say, well, why would the Lord ask Peter, "Do you love me more than these men love me?" Well, Peter said he did. In his life and in his confession and in his near the end of the Lord's life, Peter essentially was saying that, wasn't he? Especially when the Lord said, "Everyone will stumble and fail me tonight, be offended because of me." Peter said, "They might, but I never will. Lord, I will die with you," is what Peter said. And Peter, in effect, was saying, "I love you more than they love you." You know, we can have that kind of attitude sometimes too, can't we? We can begin to compare our faith, our devotion to other people. We shouldn't. There's no point to it. But it won't produce anything but a haughty attitude. Was the Lord saying that to Peter? Well, you can think about that. "Peter, do you love me more than these men love me?" You know, it was Peter that gave two great confessions of faith as we read them in the Gospels. One of them was in Matthew 16 when the Lord came to his disciples and he had them together and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, they say this, they say that. You might be Elijah, you might be one of the prophets. "Well, who do you say that I am?" the Lord said. One thing to say, "Who do they say that I am?" But then the Lord turned to his own and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And you remember Peter's great response, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," which is exactly what he was. And I really believe the disciples believed that, and it was a truthful answer, an honest answer. But you remember what the Lord told Peter? He said, "Peter, your flesh and blood, your humanness, didn't give you that answer. That only comes from God above. The only reason any one of us can confess that Jesus is the Christ and that He is our Lord and Savior is only because we've been born again. We've been born from above. We've been born anew. It doesn't come from our human nature." You remember that other time when, in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, and the next day, the Lord began to teach some difficult things. He talked about eating of His body and drinking of His blood. Now, if you keep reading the verses, it tells us that they were spiritual words that the Lord was speaking. But there were many who were following Him that didn't understand that. And they began to go away, one by one, a dozen by a dozen. He had a huge following at that time. And they began to drop off and go away. And the Lord turned to His own and He said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have come to believe and know that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the same confession of faith. But you see, Peter was a spokesman, and Peter said what he thought in his heart. So perhaps the Lord here is maybe teaching Peter a lesson in humility, if this indeed is what he's asking him. "Do you love me more than these men love me, Peter? Consider what you've said and consider what you've done in a public way here." Well, Peter says, "You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And we'll look at the answers and we'll look at what the Lord says in a little bit. But let's continue on with the questions. Second thing that he may have been saying here, now this is still the first question, you love me more than these. The more than these, he might have been saying, Peter, or asking, Peter, do you love me more than you love these men? In other words, is your devotion to me, Peter, greater than your devotion to these men? After all, here you are fishing again. You're all together, and you're back doing what you were doing, and you're fishing. Do you love me more than you love these men? Where did Peter's deepest affections lie? And that's a question for you and I to think about tonight, isn't it? You know, people can get in our road to loving the Lord. We can allow people to get in our way, our road, our devotion, our affection. Do you remember the words of the Lord when again he was speaking to his disciples? These are difficult words. Matthew 10:37, he who loves father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. And then you go to Luke's gospel and you read it and it's even more difficult. Luke 14:26. Somewhat paraphrased here. He who doesn't hate mother or father or wife or children or brothers or sisters or his own life also, the Lord says, cannot be my disciple. They're difficult words, aren't they? He who does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and then this other phrase, his own life also, cannot be my disciple. Now, the Lord is not instructing us to hate our parents, to hate our brothers, our sisters, even our own lives. But he's speaking in comparative terms. Who really has full devotion in our lives? And by the way, in a family setting, a father, mother, and siblings, children, if the Lord Jesus Christ is first, and foremost in everyone's life, then love follows, doesn't it? Hatred doesn't. But love does. And the Lord still remains the primary focus and love and devotion of everybody's heart. It's kind of the triangle, isn't it? With the Lord on top, and whether it's husband and wife or families down here, the closer anybody grows toward the Lord, the closer they're growing toward one another. But the Lord must have and demand first place in our lives. Is He the supreme focus of our lives, brothers and sisters? That could be what the Lord was asking Peter. Peter, do you love me more than you love these men? Or have they taken first place now? And my will for your life is a distant second. Thirdly, or a third thing this question could mean, still the first question here, do you love me more than these things? He may have simply been asking, Peter, do you love me more than these things? Meaning, this fishing, this occupation, these things in life that tie you down. Remember, Peter, I called you. Do you love these things now more than you love me? You know, this could apply to many things in our lives, couldn't it? It could very well be our jobs. It could be our hobbies. It could be our interests. The priorities of our lives. The things that we do in life that pull us away from the Lord Jesus. Do we love those things more than we love the Lord? And we can say yes or no, we don't. We love the Lord more than we love those things, but the bottom line proof of that is, how do we spend our time? Where do we pour our life and our energies into? Or what do we pour our life and our energy into? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says this. You know this verse. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Maybe that means love for the Father. So which of the three here is the Lord asking? I really don't know. But I think they're good questions for every one of us to think about in our own lives. Do we love the Lord more than others love the Lord? Well, that's just a check on our humility. Do we love the Lord more than we love others, other people? We need to keep that relationship proper. The Lord is first. Or do we love the Lord more than we love the things, the interests, the time-consuming things of life? You know, we have to work. There's things we have to do. Not to say we all just quit what we're doing. We quit our jobs and everybody just says, I love the Lord. No, that's not it. But how, what are we doing with our time? Is that what the Lord was asking? Well, one of those three, I suppose he was asking. Now let's look at the second question here in verse 16. Well, Peter answered him that I love you. Now, verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, notice the question's a little bit different this time, isn't it? He didn't say, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? But he dropped that. He says, Simon, do you love me? Now, what he's doing is taking Peter from maybe these other things, and he is directly asking him, Peter, do you love me? How much does Peter really love the Lord? And Peter understood that. How much do we love the Lord? What does it mean in our everyday practical lives? We can say anything. But what does our lives show? Or what do we show by our lives? How do we answer this question by the way we live? Do we love the Lord? Now, it's an extremely important question. Extremely important. Do you remember the Lord said that the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. I don't think any of us can fulfill entirely and perfectly what that verse means. But yet, it's a good verse to think about, isn't it? When you break it down, my heart, my will, my volition, what am I willing to do? What do I want to do in life? Does it revolve around the things of the Lord? Or do the things in life that interest me seem to be things that really aren't edifying to the Lord? They're not edifying to me. They're not edifying to the body of Christ. But they're just things I want to do for fun and to have a good time. My heart, where's my heart? Is what the Lord is saying in that verse. To love the Lord with all our heart, you see, has to do with our volition, our will. What do we want to do? How about our soul? Affections, desires, satisfactions, what really pleases us? Do we really desire to come together with the people of God? Do we really desire to come together and to worship the Lord? I mean, does that really excite us? Do we really look forward to that? Or is it something we do out of duty? Something we do because we think we should do? Or is there really a zeal, a desire, an affection, you see, to lift up the Lord corporately when we're together and individually in our private lives, in our devotional times, in our quiet times, throughout the day? See, is the Lord, does He have occupy a part of our life like that? That our thoughts are never far from the Lord Jesus. Our mind, thought process, knowledge that we have. Does the Word of God go through our mind? Do you think about the Word of God? Do we think about it throughout a day? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Do we want to devote our mind to being filled with the things of God? I guess there's a sense in which these questions almost to us sometimes sound ridiculous, don't they? Do we really want our minds filled with the things of God all the time? Is that really what the Lord wants? Yes, I think that's what the Lord wants. He wants our minds to be occupied with the things that involve Himself. Do we love Him to that degree? And do we love Him with all our strength? Do we want to put our energy? Do we want to put our strength and our being? Do we want to present that for Him? Well, the Lord is asking Peter here, Peter, do you love me? Maybe Peter is in need here of kind of a personal revival. And you know, we can talk about revival, but it'll never happen until each one of us individually loves the Lord Jesus in a way that the Lord is asking Peter here. Thinking about some of these verses and what they really mean. Remember David's words to the Lord. He says, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." That's what the Lord wants. He wants a broken spirit. He wants a contrite heart. He wants us to be sensitive to sin. He wants us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God as He speaks to us, as He leads us, as He guides us in this life. The Lord wants us sensitive. Let's look at the third question. Verse 17, He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Now, this is the same question as the second question. Now, you are probably aware that the word the Lord Jesus used here is an interesting play on words. The Lord used the word agape, love. In his first two questions, "Peter, do you love me?" Agape love. He asked him that the first two times. And Peter said, "Lord, I phileo you." A different word for love. More of a friendship type word. Where the agape love is a kind of an all-consuming type of love. This third question, the Lord said to Peter, "Peter, do you phileo me?" He's taking the word that Peter used to answer him when he said, "I love you." He's taking that word love and saying, "Peter, do you love me even with the kind of love you're talking about?" Peter was grieved. Says he was grieved because he asked him three times, and he was probably grieved because of the words that the Lord Jesus used. So Peter doesn't know what to do, so he appeals to the Lord's omniscience. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Do you believe Peter loved the Lord? Well, I believe he did. Sure he did. And all of us love the Lord if we know Him as Lord and Savior to some degree. But you know, our relationship with the Lord can always be deeper. It can always be better. It can always be more loving. As the Lord works in our lives, as the Lord teaches us, as the Lord chips away at us, our relationship can be deepened. And I believe this is what the Lord was getting at with Peter. A third time he asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" See, the Lord had a job for Peter to do. Now, you and I have the luxury of looking back through history. And we know what the Lord was trying to do with this man. He had a job for him to do. He was going to be a shepherd. He was going to be an elder. He was going to be a preacher. And so the Lord, you see, before Peter could enter into that and do what the Lord had in store for him, the Lord had to put him through this test. And the Lord had to make him think through where he had been and who he really is and what his relationship is to the Lord. You know, the Lord has a job for each one of us. But sometimes before we can actually do what the Lord wants us to do, we need to check out our love life. We need to really check out and take an introspection here and look at our love life for the Lord. Do we really love the Lord? You remember the word to the church at Ephesus? They had a lot of things right in that church. But the Lord says, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. Brothers and sisters, we can grow cold. We can grow cold in our love. That love can be placed upon other things, upon other people, upon things that will take us away from our Lord. And the cold can grow cold. And the Lord here, as I said this morning, and I say again this evening, I believe He's trying to redirect, refocus, recommit these men to the thing that He had called them to do in the first place. They were getting off track. They were drifting back. And maybe that's true in our lives this evening. How's our love life? How do we love the Lord? How much do we love the Lord? God has a job for us to do. But maybe this is a problem in our lives. You see, he told him in verse 15, after Peter answered him, Peter said that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. The second time he asked him the question, and Peter said, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. The third time he asked him, and Peter says, you know that I love you. He said again, feed my sheep. See, there was a direction the Lord wanted Peter to go. There was a path that he had laid out for his life. But Peter needed to be refocused at this point in his life. So the first thing, it would seem to me, that the Lord is bringing before us here in verses 15 through 17 is that the Lord Jesus Christ must be first in our lives. And we need to think about that. Now look at verses 18 and 19. He says to Peter, begins to tell him, Peter, you know, when you were young, you kind of went where you wanted to go. You girded yourself. You walked where you wanted to go. Kind of did what you wanted to do. But Peter, when you're old, that's not going to be the case. You're going to be led where maybe you don't want to go. And he was talking here about the fact how Peter would die. He's telling Peter, you're going to end up crucified. And as history would tell us, the Bible doesn't record it, but history would tell us that Peter indeed was crucified. But he wouldn't be crucified right side up like his Lord. He didn't feel worthy. And Peter was crucified upside down. But the Lord is telling him, in effect, Peter, and this is an extremely important point for us to learn, Peter, your life is not your own. Doesn't the Bible tell us we've been bought with a price? We're not our own. It takes us so long to understand and to learn that verse and the message of that verse. We're not our own. We're not to do what we want to do. We're not to go where we want to go. But we need to do what the Lord wants us to do. We need to go where the Lord wants us to go. Another great lesson Peter had to learn and understand. And again, as far as Peter's life, I believe the Lord is saying, Peter, this is not the time to be fishing. I've called you, and this is the time for you to be following me. And in fact, isn't that what he says? The end of verse 19. Follow me. Let the boats behind, like you did once before. Let the nets behind. Let that occupation behind Peter follow me. The two great lessons that the Lord has taught him thus far. Peter, I must be first and foremost in your love, in your devotion. Secondly, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a tremendous price. And your life is not your own. And then there's a third great lesson for Peter as well as for us. Verse 20 and 21. Well, in 22. Amazing, isn't it? We can look at Peter and say, boy, he must be sick. Isn't he getting it? They start walking away, and Peter, well, here's John. Well, what about John? What's going to happen to John? Now, the Lord has just talked to Peter. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John. And he says in verse 21, but Lord, what about this man? I love the Lord's answer. Well, what is that to you, Peter? I mean, we say that, don't we? Well, what's it matter to you? What is that to you? You worry about what I've just told you. Maybe if we're talking to our kids. They keep asking questions. Don't worry about that. You do what I just told you to do. But isn't that a great lesson in life that we need to learn? Not to worry so much about what someone else is doing. What their ministry is. What God has called them to do. See, this is an introspection. Peter's to be looking inward here, looking at himself. The Lord just said, follow me. And no sooner than he said, follow me, Peter's turning around looking at John. Well, what about John? What's he going to do? The Lord says, it's none of your business. The Lord says to Peter, you know, if I want him to remain alive until the day I come back, what is that to you? He may not die like you're going to die, and I'm not revealing how John's going to die. And you know, it's ironic, John outlived them all. Now, they understood this to say, John's not going to die. And that apparently spread all over the place. The Lord said, John isn't going to die. You know, we say things sometimes, and by the time it goes to five or six people, it's not what was said. Well, these guys were no different, I guess. The Lord didn't say John wasn't going to die. He said, well, if I will that John doesn't die, what's that to you, Peter? And they began talking, hey, John's not going to die. The Lord said he's not going to die. That's not what he said. But look at verse 22. Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? And what's his next word? You follow me. That's the lesson. That's the point that he's trying to get across to him. Don't worry about others. You devote yourself to me that I am first and foremost in your love life. You don't worry about your own life. You've been bought with the price. And you don't worry about other people, but you follow me. Well, you know, if we would study other verses and study the epistles of the New Testament, we would find out that the message that the Lord has for Peter and these others is the same message he has for us. The Lord wants no one else or nothing else to take his place of preeminence in our lives. The Lord has told us in the teachings that he's given us in the Scriptures that we've been bought with a price, we're not our own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And if we would look in other verses, our occupation isn't to be so much worrying about everybody else. Now there's accountability, and you know we're accountable to one another, and it's good to make sure we're not failing and falling and sinning and that type of thing. But to just worry about what someone else is doing, and the Lord says, don't worry about that. You follow me. If we all could have that kind of focus, and that kind of direction in our lives, how differently we would be. How differently our assembly would be. Well, so much more could be said. We could have said a lot more about how do we really prove our love for the Lord. And I had a section here that time just doesn't permit, but just to say here at the end, one way we prove our love for the Lord Jesus is how we treat one another. We're supposed to love one another if the love of God is really in us. You know, we need to practice that. We need to take that to heart. We need to love one another. That is a powerful, powerful witness to the world. When Christians truly love one another in a self-sacrificing way. When we actually give of ourselves to help one another. Give of our time, give of our money, give of our talent, give of our possessions to help one another. See, now that is love in action. And the only way we really prove our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is to do it. Is to perform it. We get our internals right and He is first in our lives. We realize our lives are not our own. Well, then you see, we will live according to the way the Lord wants us to live. Let's pray. Our God and Father, how we thank You once again for our time together. Thank You for these great lessons that You have written in the eternal Word of God. Father, we have the luxury in our day and age of having the completed canon of Scripture. We can identify with how difficult it would be to stand there and to hear